He is the Assistant Director of New Student Services in the Office of the Dean of Students at the University of Texas at Austin. He's also the president of Masterpiece Solutions, a company dedicated to educating the public on diversity and social awareness issues. He obtained his bachelor's degree in psychology from Oklahoma State University and his master's in higher education administration from the University of Texas. And I know Kyle to be a fabulous presenter because I've attended his diversity training session on occasion, and he is fabulous. So please give a warm welcome to Kyle.
Thank you. Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Good. We had a break, and so we got some caffeine and coffee and walked around a little bit so we can stay awake, hopefully. I stand between you and lunch, and so I won't stand tall and I won't stand too long. So we will definitely stay on track today, and we're not going to talk about anything new. We're going to talk about teamwork. I'm going to introduce some things that you all have maybe seen before. The goal will be to talk about it, hopefully in a different way, so it's something that you can take back with you. You all attend conferences a lot, and so I know that, you know, after a while things just start to get redundant and sort of boring. So feel free if you need to stand up, if you need to step out. But my hope is that I can keep you entertained as well as informed for the next 57 minutes. All right, 56. Thank you. All right, so hopefully everyone has the PowerPoint slides. Try not to read ahead because it just makes my job harder if y'all read ahead. But we'll go through these, and you will need something to write with in a little bit as well. Here's some of the things that I've done. You can read it at another time if you're actually interested. How many black dots are on the screen? They're moving around, right? All right. So this has absolutely nothing to do with my presentation, but I could tie it in well if I needed to, and I think that sometimes things can be deceptive, so this is one of those illusion things, and that was our icebreaker. We're done with that. All right. Also, what I want to start off by talking about when it comes... I feel like this is loud. Okay, when it comes to talking about teamwork and a work environment, it's important to talk about three different zones that I'm going to introduce. Before I do that, though, how many of you work on a staff of five or less? Okay, all right. And how many of you work on a staff of 5 to 10? Okay, anyone work on a staff that's 10 or more? Okay, a few. Okay, all right. So, I always like to ask that so I don't make any assumptions, and I think sometimes when we think about teamwork, we might assume or think about larger groups, but really, if you're working with one other person, today's presentation will hopefully be useful to you, or if you're working with 20 other people, again, hopefully it'll be useful to you. So this graphic right here that we're going to introduce is going to talk about kind of the different zones that we're in, particularly when we're in group settings or team settings. We all, in the middle, start with our comfort zone. Now, for some of us, our comfort zone is about the diameter of a pea, right, or a quarter. It's really, really small. For some of us, we don't have any limits or boundaries to our comfort zone. We're really open, meeting new people. We've never met a stranger, that sort of thing. And I think, how many of you know somebody that they just don't seem to have any boundary to their comfort zone? In other words, they don't mind infringing on your comfort zone. Okay, all right. The person that you sit next to on the plane, when you're trying to nod off or read the book and they tell you their life story in the first 5 minutes, okay, those folks. And there's nothing wrong, but it just means that we kind of show up differently. So our comfort zone can change, it can expand, it can constrict. It depends on the setting we're in, it depends on the people we're around. For some of us, our comfort zone actually shrinks when we're around family members, just depending on how the family setup is. And then for some of us, we're more comfortable around people that we don't know, partially because you can be whoever you want when you're around a group of people that, you know, they don't know you, you don't know them. Las Vegas, that sort of thing, okay? So then when we move beyond that comfort zone is where we get into our learning zone, which I think is a really, really important place to be. so that when we're in new situations, when we're in new settings and around new people, that we start to learn more, not only about ourselves, but about other people or the environments that we're in. Some of us skip the learning zone and we go into our panic zone once we are stretched beyond our comfort zone, okay? Can everyone kind of go to that place and figure out where their panic zone is? So the last thing I want to say about this slide, I think it's important that, how many of you heard the phrase before, you need to step outside your comfort zone? Okay, a lot of us have heard that before. That's not always a safe place. That's not always comfortable for us. For some of us, we kind of reject that notion of stepping outside our comfort zone. What I think is important anytime you're in a group setting, team environment, is that you work to expand your comfort zone. So it means that you always are taking steps while still being comfortable, right? While still being in the place that you can, you know, work best or interact best with other people, but you're not jumping from your comfort zone to the panic zone. That's what I think is so important about the learning zone in the middle. It's that place where you start to kind of expand who you are, what you think and believe, and how you can interact with other people. So I always say, let's work on expanding our comfort zone as opposed to stepping outside the comfort zone. Okay. Any questions so far? Comments? Okay. So usually when we talk about teamwork, we talk about team builders, or we use the buzzword icebreakers, and everyone rolls their eyes and looks at their phone and tries to ignore icebreakers. Don't worry, I don't have any for you this morning. But I think that team builders can help the group be more comfortable with one another. That's not anything new, right? It helps individuals feel as if they're a significant part of the group. So if you have really good managers and supervisors in a work environment, they actually do team builders or icebreakers all the time, and you might not even know it. But it really does create a sense of individual people feeling like they're a significant part of the group. It also, and I think really important, it helps to build trust among group members. All right? If you have or have had or know someone who has a supervisor that micromanages, one of the things that we could complain about the most is that a micromanaging manager doesn't trust their employees, doesn't trust that they can sort of do the work that they were hired to do. Hopefully nobody in this room has or is a micromanager, but that would be, if you could get that survey back, one of the things that people really struggle with when someone micromanages is feeling like they don't trust them to do their work and to do their job. And that's one of the things that can sort of really kill morale in a workspace. It's very important that you all and your work groups work hard to trust each other. Now, sometimes you have to do some creative things so that you can do that and build that trust. And then lastly on this slide, to teach people valuable leadership and group dynamic skills. Okay. I like quotes. I think quotes are important. Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. Okay. So how many of you have worked in your same work environment with the same staff for 3 to 5 years? Okay. Anyone work in the same environment, same staff, more or less, 5+ years? Okay. How many of you are in the first 6 months to the year of your position? Okay. All right. So, again, I'm trying to set it up to where we really understand that working together is success. And it isn't just doing the day-to-day tasky things. So if at the end of the day you can say, well, I did my reports, you know, I helped X number of people at the front, and everything was great, I had a great day, but you know that your coworkers didn't, are we really working together as a team? So those are the kind of things that we'll hopefully explore today. I'm not sure exactly. I know some of you just got binders. The slides are in the booklet in the binder somewhere. Maybe toward the beginning, it looks like. Okay. So quickly, we're going to talk about this book, The Four Agreements. Has anyone read The Four Agreements before? Okay. Oh, one person. Wonderful. It's a great book. It's about 80 pages or so on paperback, $12 to $13 at your local bookstore, or you can always check it out at your library. I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes of The Four Agreements. Does anybody in the room know who Cliff is? I'm just curious. How many of you have used Cliff Notes before? Our students, I work at UT Austin, and I say Cliff Notes, and they just kind of look at me. What is that? Now it's the internet, right? I don't have Cliff Notes anymore, but it was hard for me to trust Cliff, but it was also hard for me to do my assignments on time, so sometimes I had to lean on Cliff to help me get through a paper or two. So we're going to give the abridged version of this book. It's ancient Toltec wisdom writings that were discovered by the author Don Miguel Ruiz. He has a series of books, and this is the first one, and it's one of those things where he says if you sort of adhere to these four agreements, your life will be forever changed. And I like to use them collectively, but also kind of use them separately. So we'll jump into the first one. Be impeccable with your word is the first of the four agreements. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Pause. How many of you have seen gossip in the workplace before? Right? That's also something that can kill morale and shoot holes in the trustworthiness of a work group, right? So we want to make sure that we minimize gossip, all right? Use the power of the word in the direction of truth and love, right? And you say, aw. But I think in reality, particularly in the workplace, is to say only what you mean, to speak with integrity. Those are things that, you know, they might seem pretty rational, you know? Things that we all might say, okay, that works, but does it happen all the time? Are we working hard to make sure that we're not speaking against ourselves or to gossip about others? And sometimes it's hard to do in a workspace, particularly if the gossiper loves to come to you or if you are the gossiper. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Number two, I think this is the hardest of the four. Although it's hard not to gossip, let's be honest. But number two, as you read the top, don't take anything personally. I think you all work, I think I work, we work in the helping profession, right? So part of our job is to assist people, is to help people, is to troubleshoot, is to problem solve, is to think quick on our feet, to make exceptions when we're tired and we don't necessarily want to be there, to really be there for other people. Because of that, I think it's very difficult for us to not take anything personally. But I love the way the author kind of breaks it down. Nothing others do is because of you. What others do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. So when you're immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. Now, I read that all the time, and I say, I really like that. I really, really do. But when I read what's in red at the top, I just kind of shake my head because I know at the end of the day, it's hard for me not to take things personally. So when someone comes to the front counter and they haven't even opened their mouth yet, but their attitude precedes them, right? You all have seen that before, dealt with that before, and they're giving you a hard time, but they're the ones that are in the wrong. It's difficult not to take it personally, right? Or the same thing with your coworkers. So if your coworker had a bad weekend, maybe there's some family stuff going on, there's some financial troubles going on, and some people tend to come in and they like to take it out on other people. It's weird that a lot of us, we like to take things out on the people that we know, love, and trust the most, because we know they'll be there in the end. But that's not really fair. We should not do that, right? But it's hard for us not to take it personally. What I love about this, again, though, is that what this is saying is it's because of their own stuff that they have going on. And so we don't have to sort of take on that energy. It's not automatic, but it is something I think that we can work on a little bit more. And so when you think of working in a team environment, how important could this be to us, you know, still being able to work well together? Or to have someone, if they come up and they're rude, or if someone's having a bad day and you know it, that you can kind of understand that that's about them and what they have going on. You don't have to take that energy on. If anything, you can ignore them, you can walk away, or maybe you can help brighten their day somehow because it's a projection of their own stuff that they have going on. And what it means at the end is that you're not taking that energy on, and then, as it says at the bottom, being the victim of needless suffering. It's a beautiful concept. I just think it's very hard to do when you work in the helping profession. But I think it's something that can be motivating as we think about working hard not to take anything personally. Number three is to don't make assumptions. Find the courage to ask questions and express what you really, really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstanding, sadness, and drama. In any group, there's at least one person that just kind of likes drama. Likes to be in it, likes to create it, likes to stew it and let it simmer. And it's just kind of a reality that some people are a little bit more dramatic than others. And so not making assumptions is to kind of help us work on this last part. With this agreement, you can completely transform your life. I love to talk about what I call the airport theory. How many of you flew into El Paso for the conference? Okay, a few of you. So this is my airport theory. Work with me. How many of you have been in an airport before? I don't want to make any assumptions. Okay, so more of you. When you are in the airport, how many of you have seen someone like running through the airport with their bag? When you're running through the airport with your rolly bag, you really should probably pick it up, because you know how you see them and they're running and it turns over on the side and it kind of falls and they have to pick it back up and start their stride all over again. And you just kind of go, you kind of feel for them. What's the first thought that comes to mind? That they are late, right? The way in which assumptions work is, that's the end of that thought. Some of you have seen people where their bag turns over, or they're holding the child is just hanging off to the side and they're running with the child to try to make that plane, and we think they are late. Unfortunately, what assumptions don't allow us to do is to ask follow-up questions. So we don't know what the circumstances are before they got to the airport. It could have been traffic, could have been an extra security screening that I witnessed. Now they're checking your palms, right, for explosives or something. I was in Lubbock. Sir, can you step over? I put some cocoa butter on before I went to the airport, and apparently that could be an explosive. So I got held up, but I made my plane, so that's good. But what we don't do is we don't ask any follow-up questions. They could have been in a car accident. They could have been held up because there was an accident on the highway. They could have left in plenty of time, did everything they could in their control to be on time, but something else may have held them up. They might be running because they're trying to catch a standby flight because there's a family emergency going on. But when we don't ask those follow-up questions and we lay with our assumptions, you know, we might just think that that person is late. And it's amazing because a lot of times we'll do that as if we've never been late ourselves, right? As if we have never been in that position. Or we're assuming that we'll never be in that. I always get up early and I always leave early. And we never know because life happens. So this is telling us we can transform our life if we work hard not to sort of stick with our assumptions, okay? We do that all the time based on how someone looks. So I like the airport theory because a lot of people can sort of resonate with that. You can take that and use that in organizations that you may be a part of or even your work environment, where based on how someone looks, how someone dresses, what gender they are, what race they are, what they talk about openly, we make those assumptions about someone and we don't ask any follow-up questions. And if you're going to continue to make assumptions about people, then I hope that you're comfortable with people making assumptions about you, right? So that's something else for us to work on. And number four is to always do your best. It sounds pretty simple, right? But again, I like the explanation underneath. Your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you're healthy as opposed to when you're sick. I'm competing here next door. Under any circumstance, simply do your best and you'll avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. The one thing I love about this is sometimes we come to work and we are not 100%. We're just not. And sometimes when we come to work, we might only be at 60%. What this is saying in terms of always do your best, sometimes your best is 60%, and if that's what you can give, then give that 60%. However, if you're coming into the office for 2 months now, giving 60%, your coworkers are not going to be very happy with you, right? So what this is saying is when you do your best, it's when you're feeling great and you're feeling 100% or close to it, then that's what you give. But a lot of us, we come in, we don't always come in and say, I'm not feeling well today. I have, you know, a cold, or I've got the flu. You know, nowadays they turn around and send you home if that happens. Oh, well, on a college campus we do. But we don't always come in, and not just in terms of health, but sometimes we got things going on at home that don't, we're just not at 100%. And what this is saying in my mind is it's okay from time to time when you still come in and give your best. And as a coworker, if I can see that you're not 100%, but I can tell that you're still giving your best, my trust in you, my respect for you, my ability to help you in any way possible, it always increases and it stays at a high level. And I think that's what we want. So if we are working to always do your best, it'll keep us from making assumptions, it'll help us not take things personally, and it'll help us in the end be impeccable with our word. So that's the four agreements in a nutshell. I think I did better than Cliff would have done. But again, it's a great book, and I would suggest you pick it up if you're interested. Okay, so now there is a quiz. It's called a quiz. It's not really a quiz, but in your handouts, I think it's going to be after the last page of the PowerPoint slides. There should be a quiz. It should be one page, two different columns, 11 questions. Uh-oh. Okay, well, we're gonna figure this out. No worries. This is for after the quiz. All right, let me see. Now it's two columns and it should be 11 questions with spaces after. It doesn't look like it's in here. Okay. So let's see how we can use technology to our advantage. It should look like this at the top left. Okay, that's okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to improvise and we're going to work through this together because that's for after the quiz. Yeah, no worries. So what I'm going to do is I'm sorry. So what I'm going to do is I'll show you what the quiz is going to look like, and then we're going to go through the questions one by one. And if you all can just use the pads that you have in front of you to answer the questions, we're going to work this out. And we may be able to get some copies before this is over. So what this is, there's 11 questions. And the questions are basically asking for your responses based on personality. So this is the sample of the first question. It says, when I make decisions, and then it gives four choices. And what you're to do is the choice that sounds most like you, you would give it a 4. The choice that sounds least like you, you would give it a 1. And then you would assign a 2 and a 3 in between. So now I'm assuming not everybody can see this, right? So what I'm going to try to do is kind of read each question out as well as have it on the screen. So dictation, we're going back to 1980. Yeah, but each question is going to have an A, a B, a C, and a D under it, and you'll assign it a 4, a 3, a 2, and a 1. So, for example, this first question, or the statement says, when I make decisions, and the choices are, I do it quickly and go at first impressions. Second choice, I think about it, consider the options, and then decide. The third choice, I listen to my feelings and consider how my decisions will affect others. And then the last choice is I take it seriously and always try to make the right decision. So for me, number 4 would go under the second choice. I think about it, I consider the options, and then decide when I make decisions. The one that sounds least like me is I do it quickly and go with first impressions. Okay? So we are going to work this out. Y'all are with me? Okay. So I'm going to switch to the actual quiz. I'll show it, I'll blow it up as best I can, and we'll go through this real quick. I don't know if I can make it.
Can I change pages or anything?
I'm just trying to make it as big as possible. Okay, so the first question is actually the same, and I'll read through these again so that you all can see them. Let me try to go maybe a little bit bigger. Okay. Not too bad. Is that okay for at least half of the room? Okay, so the first statement again is when I make decisions. And I don't know if it helps maybe to write, perfect, write a 1 and then do an A, B, C, D, and then you can assign your numbers underneath. So when I make decisions, the first option is I do it quickly and go with first impressions. If that sounds most like you, you would put a 4 there. I think about it, consider the options, and then decide as the second choice. The third choice is I listen to my feelings and consider how my decisions will affect others. And then the fourth one is I take it seriously and always try to make the right decision. So based on those four answers, if it, whichever one sounds most like you, you'll put a 4, a 3, a 2, and then a 1 for whatever sounds least like you. Right, right. You gotta make a decision. There's a 4, a 3, a 2, and a 1 for A, B, C, D. Does anyone need me to repeat any of the choices? No, no problem, no problem. I don't mess with judges, though. I don't mess with the judges. I'm joking.
What I want to do is bring him back next year and do a class on, like, how to manage your boss. Anybody Yay. Think that would be a good idea?
I've already started working on that one, so. Well, it's sending still, so.
Oh, it is? Okay. All right, I will be back.
Okay. Let's talk after. Okay, we'll see if we can get that to send. If not, has everyone done the first question at least? Okay, all right, so let's go to the second one. I'm just curious, how many of you can't see what's on the screen at all? Okay, all right. Well, that's not working. Okay, question 2. The statement is, the best way for others to show me they care about me is to, and then do fun things with me is A. B is give me space to be by myself. C is spend time with me doing whatever. And D should be, on an added a W, should be do what I want to do, not let me down or go back on their word. Yes. Okay. So for the first one that I put up, so let me show you this, that each statement has 4 different sort of options underneath. But I don't want to call it multiple choice to be even more confusing. If you saw it all in front of you, I think it would make more sense. And so the first question was when I make decisions, and then there was 4 options underneath, and then you would assign it a 4, meaning it sounds most likely like me, and then a 1, meaning it sounds least like me. So that's all sort of one question. So then the second question, so number 2 is, the best way for others to show me that they care about me is to, and then there's 4 options for question 2. Is that helpful? Okay, and I'll repeat these. Just a moment. Okay, so the best way for others to show me that they care about me is to, A is to do fun things with me. And again, if that sounds most like you, you would give it a 4. B is to give me space to be by myself. C is to spend time with me doing whatever. And then D is to do what I want to do, not let me down or go back on their word. Okay? Trying everything here. I'm going to see if I can get it on jump drive and they can print from there. Yes. I'm sorry. Give me space to be myself. Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing that. I'm right. Okay, we're gonna get it on a flash drive to be myself. Okay, we're gonna get it printed. This will be.
Course materials. We've had it all year long.
Okay.
You want it in this one?
It's on this one. I just put it on here. It's a personality quiz, 2010. Okay, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to get it printed as quickly as possible, and I guess we'll try to continue this, but we're going to get it printed. Okay, so number two, was everyone able to? Let's say okay. Y'all are my favorite group now because you've had to work with me, so I appreciate it. Number three, let me make sure I read everything correctly. So the statement for number three is: when I'm with my friends, I like to provide. And here are the four options. The first option, A, I like to provide the excitement, the fun, and the jokes. B, I like to provide questions, answers, a logical way of looking at things. C, I like to provide concern for others, a lot of caring. And D, I like to provide the planning, a sense of security, and a good standard. So I'll repeat those again. So when I'm with my friends, I like to provide. A is the excitement, fun, and jokes. B, questions, answers, and a logical way of looking at things. C, concern for others, a lot of caring. And D, the planning, a sense of security, a good standard. We're okay with number three? Okay. Okay, so number four simply just says, I like to. And option A is, I like to act on a moment's notice and do risky things. B, I like to provide answers or give thought to people's questions. C, I like to help maintain a sense of harmony and togetherness. And D, I like to be responsible, dependable, and helpful to others. So again, A, I like to act on a moment's notice and do risky things. B, I like to provide answers and give thought to people's questions. C, I like to help maintain a sense of harmony and togetherness. And D, I like to be responsible, dependable, and helpful to others. We're ready for number five?
Yeah.
Okay. You good? Okay. Okay, so number five. One thing I'm really good at is improvising when the handout is not in the binder. That's not an option. Okay, so one thing I'm really good at is A, acting courageously, B, thinking, C, being sensitive, D, organizing. So one thing I'm really good at is A, acting courageously, B, thinking, C, being sensitive, or D, organizing. You know what'll happen. As soon as we get through the 11 questions, the copies will come. Y'all know that, right? Okay. Exactly. And then you'll have everyone have a fresh copy. Okay. Six, we're ready for six? Okay. We're halfway there. Okay, so friends who know me best would say that I am A, competitive, B, reserved or thoughtful, C, emotional or friendly, D, neat and prepared. So friends that know me best would say that I'm A, competitive, B, reserved or thoughtful, Kathy is working miracles, C, emotional or friendly, D, neat or prepared. You know, we did this on purpose. We just wanted to make sure nobody fell asleep in the middle of the presentation. So
we have to keep checking.
You know, that'll work. Thank you all for being patient. So hopefully now that you have, once you get it in front of you, everything will make sense. And you can transpose your answers. And what I'd like you to do is go through all 11 questions. And then at the bottom, everyone listen up, because this usually is where people need an extra one. At the bottom, what you're going to do, you'll see an A, B, C, and a D, a line for that. And there's a fruit underneath that or next to it. What you'll do is you'll go through each question, and you'll add up all of your A's. So if you put four for A under number one, and then a three, you're going to cumulatively add all of your A's. So it might be a four, a three, a three, a two. Add it all up, and then that will be one value for all of your A's. You'll add up all of your B's, one value for that, then your C's, and then your D's. If you have any questions, just raise your hand, let me know. Yes. Four. Yes. So let's clarify. Under each of the questions, four is the statement underneath the question that sounds most like you. As soon as you read it, you're like, that's me. You're going to give that a four. The one that sounds the least like you, you're going to give that a one. Okay. No problem. Any other questions? Does everyone have a copy now? Okay. Thank you.
Love.
It's 12 past midnight. Don't close your eyes. Your soul's left alive, and I'll be by your side. I've come to take you there, show you how to care. Just be aware that you'll have to share. I want your love. I want it tonight. I'm taking your heart, so don't you fight. I'll be your answer. I'll be your wish. I'll be your fantasy, your favorite dish. I'm with you, middle and round again. I'm gonna be there till the end, 100%.
Yeah.
I just knew y'all were going to start singing along to Journey. How many of you are still working? Okay.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. And all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. And all the night magic seems to whisper and hush, and all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning.
let it play. Everyone about done?
Girl, you taught me how to hurt real bad and cry myself to sleep. Show me how this town shattered dreams. Another lesson about a naive fool who came to Babylon. Found out that the pie don't taste so sweet.
Okay, even if you're still working, most everyone have a chance to tally things up? Okay, so how many of you are, your highest score was an apple? Okay, all right. How many of you, your highest score was peach? Okay, how about pear? Okay, and then how about strawberry? Okay, all right. Strawberries are usually the ones that sit close to the exit. Where are my strawberries again? See, okay, we have one, and we got two here. We got an exit here. We got an exit here. I'm telling you, it's like clockwork. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly go through a bunch of material that you also have in your handouts, and so it's not rocket science, but I want to talk about how kind of you show up in work in terms of personality, but also it's going to help you to determine kind of how some of your coworkers show up and whether or not you all may have some natural issues working with each other based on personality. Now, quickly, let me say, some of you may have had a tie. So you might be a peach pear. All four of the scores might be really close together, really well-rounded, or can't make decisions, one of the two. And then some of you, your top score and your bottom score couldn't be further apart. So what this is going to allow you to do is to kind of, again, understand how you show up at work or in your personal life, or both, a little bit more. The other thing I'll say is this is only four personality sort of quadrants. Obviously, there's going to be some flux in between. Obviously, with only four, there's some things that are going to be missing. Okay, so, but hopefully from these four, what I found is that for the most part, there's something that resonates with everybody. So, crash course. All right, apples. Apples, you're best at caring about your needs for security, remembering sentimental moments, acknowledging stability, and responding to important dates, okay? So apples, you all are very sort of meticulous about how you show up at work and with other people. Pears, you're best at, you're recognizing sort of a need for independence. Pears are best when you allow them to be self-critical. So the pears are the thinkers, they're the idea generators, they're the ones that are like, kind of gazing out the window, focus, focus, focus. Hey, I'm here. But they're really not, okay? Peaches are really good at having one-to-one talks. Can we talk for a second? You know, they want to talk to you one-on-one. And I've just been feeling. You'll hear the word feeling a lot. With pears, you'll hear the word thinking a lot. With apples, you'll hear the word deadline a lot, okay? With peaches, they're really good at sort of expressing their feelings. They're very open and responsive to others, all right? So peaches, they're our caretakers. They're the ones that are always looking out for everyone. They know they can't please everybody, but don't tell them that they can't try, all right? Strawberries, it's important you recognize their need for freedom. It's important that you recognize that most strawberries sit by the exits. Strawberries are probably the ones that, well, let me read this. They're optimistic for no reason. They're just like, why are you worried about it? It's not a big deal. All right, strawberries are spontaneous. They're the ones that bring excitement to the group. They're the ones that are fun. They're the ones that, let me back up. Peaches are going to bring breakfast because they just thought it was a good idea and wanted to share. Strawberries are going to bring breakfast because they're late in the morning. Okay? So that's one difference. It's not a question of how well the process works. The question is how well they all work together. You can interchange process with people. All right? So it's not about whether or not people show up to work, right? But it's about how well people work together. Quickly, for Apple leaders, if you're an Apple, don't overwhelm your group with formality, with dates and deadlines. If you're leading an Apple, provide details. Be efficient with them. Stay on track. Stay on time. The Apples know that I've got about 4 minutes left in the presentation, and then it's lunchtime, okay? Apples are organized. They're goal setters. They're leaders. If you're a pair, don't think about things too much. Move into action. Avoid being too aloof and cool and gazing out the window and saying, give me a minute. I just need a moment to process, right? Okay, there we go. If you're leading a pair, also give them a chance to open up. Give them time to complete a project. All right? An Apple, you can say, can I get this done in 45 minutes? They're going to say it's already done. And then you might want to give the pair that 45-minute task a few days before you need it. All right? If you're a peach, avoid being too accommodating. Again, you know you can't please everybody, but you're still going to try. Why not? Avoid being too touchy-feely with activities. With activities. That's a joke. Crash and burn, Kathy. All right, avoid taking things personally, right? The reason why I said that number two of the four agreements is so hard is because I'm a peach, believe it or not. Okay, if you're leading peaches, consider their feelings. Be more sensitive. Peaches are... They're team players with strong communicators and they're caring. Strawberry leaders, think before you act. All right? Be on time and stay on time. Be more structured. If you're leading a strawberry, give them a chance to unleash their energy. They might say, why do we still do this the same way we've always done it? An apple will be like, because it works. A peach is going to be like, I don't know. Do you have an idea? Let's hear it. Right? And a pear is going to say, I need a moment to, I just, all right? And a strawberry may say, let's do it this way. It's faster, it's simpler, and then everyone else will be resistant to change. If you actually try it, you might like it, all right? Strawberries are carefree, they make things fun, they're natural entertainers, okay? Teamwork is essential because it allows you to blame somebody else. Not really, that's just a joke. That's why it's unknown. Okay, I've got 3 minutes. Apples, I've got 3 minutes. I always like to make sure y'all eat before the judges. Okay. I want to say a couple of things about these four personalities quickly. How many of you can see that there are certain things to your apple or your strawberry or whatever that show up at work? Okay, a few things. How many of you are already thinking about your coworkers, whether they're here or not, and you're going, oh. So the really good thing about this, and you've probably done... Maybe you've done another personality thing, Myers-Briggs, the DISC, there's thousands of them, right? But the thing to do is to take something like this that's really simple and be able to go back and kind of use that. Now, if you walk in the office, when you get back and say, strawberries, back away from me right now, I need a moment, pears, right? If you do that, they're not going to know. So you may want to, if you want to leave me your email address or card, I'd be happy to send the quiz and the answers electronically to you, because they're not mine. So I'd be happy to share those. And it'd be a great, that'd be a great team builder, right? Don't say icebreaker. Because it's going to allow you to know how you show up, how others show up, but then you can start to predict or dissect how you all interact. So an apple might think, please don't put me on a work assignment with a strawberry, because it's not going to work, right? Well, as an apple leader in the workplace, you might really be able to help the strawberry stay on track, stay on time, and the strawberry is going to help you, apple, sort of lighten up a little bit and not take everything too seriously. So even though you might think that you're kind of on the opposite ends of your coworkers, it actually can really work well if everybody's willing to sort of work on that, okay? So good teamwork environments. Some people are worried about the end result, the goal. They're very project-driven. They're very task-oriented, and I think that can be a good environment. Some people are more worried about sort of the people. How is this working? Is it working? They're more evaluative. I think it's important to find a healthy balance of both. So to be worried about your task and making sure that everything gets done, but it's important to remember the people that are actually doing the work. So whether you're a manager or not, or you're on your way to be one, or you've only been in the job for a year or two, it's important that we always sort of remember the people in the environment and find a good healthy balance. When budgets get tight, when positions close and don't reopen, and you all get more and more work put on your plate, it's easy for us to worry about tasks and projects and making sure that everything is done. But the morale in the office is going to be compromised if we don't make sure that we spend time not just working side by side each other, but working with each other. And I've seen that be very successful, even in a time where everything is really stringent and tight, and we always feel like somebody's over our shoulder. That's when the strawberries, y'all are great for cracking jokes, bringing in donuts, taking somebody out for their birthday lunch when nobody else remembered. That's when you all can really start to take care of each other when you do those little things, okay? One more illusion. Which circle in the middle is bigger? Everyone say they're the same. We're out of time. They're the same. But my point in showing this is, I think when we are thinking about team environments, we have to make sure that we're not this middle circle on the left, all right? Well, we are trying to be bigger than everybody around us. We're trying to surround ourselves with people that we perceive or think to be smaller than we are in whichever ways. That we're actually being the circle in the middle on the right, and we are surrounding ourselves with people that have more experience than we do, that have a lot of information and knowledge to offer. Someone that's been in the office for 10, 15 years, the institutional memory that they have can't be duplicated or replaced. So the new hotshot person that comes in has to be willing to sit down and learn from that person, right? We're also going to tie in some generational differences in terms of how we learn and how we work, hopefully for next year. And so the hotshot person that comes in is like, oh, I can do this stuff in 5 minutes without understanding the process and the why. So it's important that we surround ourselves with people at work and away from work that are seemingly bigger than us, because that's where humility comes in. That's where we show up as more of a team player. That's where it becomes 12 o'clock and I'm out of time. Any questions or comments before we close? Thank you all. So feel free to come up, leave your card. I'd be happy to send that to you electronically. We've got some already. If you have questions, come on up. Thank you all for being patient and flexible. I'll be around. Yes, I'll be around for lunch.
So that would be lunch. After lunch is the one more general session. So everybody will meet back in here at 1 o'clock and have a nice lunch.
So